Welcome to show 4 of a series where guest writer Stephen Roy turns some of his previously published work into audio greatness. If you like your F1 history, you'll like this. Over to Stephen.
Jim Clark grew up as a boy who loved cars. On April 7th, 1968, Jim Clark died in a Formula 2 race at Hockenheim. He remains one of the small group of drivers inevitably mentioned whenever the subject of the greatest of them all arises. This tribute explains the effect that Clark's fatal accident had on a small boy in Scotland. Just over 40 years ago, the greatest driver of his generation was killed in a Formula 2 race at Hockenheim in West Germany. Today, it is inconceivable that a top Grand Prix driver would compete in the lower formula, but then it was quite normal. It is well known that Clark drove for Lotus in all 72 of his World Championship Grand Prix, and Lotus, like Brabham, made Formula 2 cars, and the Grand Prix drivers drove them. Although on this occasion Clark and his teammate Graham Hill were originally scheduled to drive Alan Mann's new Ford F3L sports car in its debut at Brands Hatch, but Lotus boss Colin Chapman insisted they go to Hockenheim. Most people first become interested in racing after watching a race on TV or been taken to a track. My introduction was a bit different. At the time I was 8 years old and living in the west of Scotland. In the 11 years between 1963 and 1973, Scotsmen won 5 Drivers' World Championships, yet there was practically no media coverage. Races were not shown on TV, and newspapers covered football and nothing else. It's hard to imagine someone growing up in Germany during the Schumacher period that would not have recognised him, but Jim Clark could have walked through almost any town in Scotland unrecognised. Motor racing was very much a minority interest. During my childhood, my father worked night shift for a total of about 6 weeks. I only remember this fact because one Monday morning he came in while I was eating breakfast and put a newspaper down. There was a picture of a man in a helmet and a line saying that he died. I asked if it was another astronaut dead and he said, "No son, it's Jim Clark. He was a racing driver." That was the limit of his knowledge. Despite being someone who read the paper every day, he knew Jim Clark was a racing driver and nothing more. I've always been curious as to why he asked if it was another astronaut who died, as the only other astronauts I can find on record are those of Gus Grissom, Ed White and Roger Chaffee in the Apollo test AS204 that was retrospectively named Apollo 1, but that took place 15 months earlier, which is a lifetime at that age. That afternoon when I returned from school, as always, I took the paper, spread it out on the floor and read what I could. As always, I started at the sport at the back, but what caught my attention was a double page spread in the centre of the newspaper. It was all about Jim Clark. It had a few pictures of him racing on his farm, and one of him as a young child on a pedal car. I can remember it like it was yesterday. The opening line read, "Jim Clark grew up as a boy who loved cars," and I can remember thinking, "That's just like me." Needless to say, it wasn't like me. And over the decades since I've acquainted myself with his legend, I read every word of those 2 pages and became fascinated with the man and motor racing. To me, it still seems incredible that at that time when Scotland and England were dominating Formula 1, there was no coverage of it. At the time, I knew Jim Clark, Jackie Stewart and Graham Hill were racing drivers, and I knew little snippets of racing I'd seen on TV interested me, but that was it. Jim's career is well documented from his original meeting with Colin Chapman, where Chapman beat him in a race where they both drove Lotus Elans, to his 2 world championships, to the 2 others he lost to mechanical failure in the last race of the season, his win at Indianapolis, his 2nd win which was actually credited to Graham Hill, although most people believe that was due to a lap scoring error, his 2nd place at Indy to Pernille Jones whose car was spewing out oil, but the officials refused to black flag him because they didn't want a foreigner to win in one of them funny little cars. After that race, which was his first visit to Indy, he demonstrated the well-disguised steeliness in his personality by insisting Chapman take his car to another oval race. They went to Milwaukee and won. Clark would race anything. He famously raced the Lotus Cortina in the British Saloon Car Championship and won the championship. The images of him three-wheeling that car around the track have gone down in legend. He raced sports cars, he almost won the RAC Rally, even raced in NASCAR. Nowadays all that matters is a driver's results in F1. Jim contested 72 races, 125 of them, a record number at that time. He took 33 pole positions, which is also a record. The most telling statistic is that although he won 25 races, he only finished second once. If the car was good enough to win, he won. Of course, Lotuses had two distinct features. They were quick and they were fragile, and Jim lost a lot of wins because the car broke down while he was leading. He was very much the driver who liked to get pole, start and lead from the front. He drove for 7 full seasons, won 2 championships in 1963 and 65. He also lost the 1962 and 1964 championship to mechanical problems in the last race of each year. With a little bit of luck, he could have won the majority of the championships he completed. In 1963, he won a record 7 races in one season. There were 10 races that season, with the driver's best 6 scores counting. So not only did he score the maximum number of championship points available, but he had a win to spare. However, it could be argued that he was even more dominant in 1965. After 7 World Championship races, he had won 6, and again the driver's best 6 scores counted, so he was champion by August the 1st. He did not win the Monaco GP, but that was because he was in Indianapolis winning the 500 instead. During the winters of the 1960s, the top racing drivers did not spend weeks on end pounding around Barcelona, testing endless new pieces of carbon fibre. They decamped en masse to Australia and New Zealand for the Tasman series. This championship was run for Formula 1 cars, but with 2.5 litre engines. The championship ran from 6 seasons from 64 to 69, and was made up of 4 races in each country. Jim Clark contested 4 of these championships and won 3 of them. Jackie Stewart tells a story about Jim Clark that shows the difference between the assured, confident racing driver in total control of his environment and Jim the man. The two of them were in the USA and arrived at a railroad crossing in open country. According to Stewart, they could see about 2 miles in each direction with no one else around, and Clark, who was driving, turned to Stewart and asked if he thought it was safe to cross. At Jim's funeral, his father pulled Dan Gurney aside and told him that he should know that he was the only driver that Clark feared on the track. Gurney admits to shedding a tear that not only did the great man rate him so highly, but his father took time out of what was a personally tragic time to tell him. Jim Clark was regarded by all his peers as the best driver of his generation. There really is no debate on the subject. Clark drove at a perilous time to be a racing driver, and the fact that the universal reaction to his death was the shock that it could happen to him tells you all you need to know about how he was regarded. The corollary, of course, was that if it could happen to him, it could happen to anyone. All of a sudden, they all felt more vulnerable than they ever had. Jim Clark was the greatest driver of his time. Was he the best ever?